And this is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. An annual report from Children at Risk, a Houston-based nonprofit and advocacy group focused on public schools in Texas, and found that while major cities were seeing improvements in a variety of metrics, several of San Antonio's school districts were still not measuring up. But some campuses were doing some great work. We want to hear from what you think about your kids' schools. Are they delivering? Are your children getting what they need to be ready, get made ready for the world? We invite you to join our conversation. Give us a call. The number is 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Also, go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour is the Children at Risk CEO, Bob Sanborn. Bob, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David. Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us about your report. What were y'all looking at?
Yeah, we do this every year. We've done it for about 5 years across the state of Texas and 8 years total. And the idea is to look at every single public school, elementary, middle school, high school, use a number of universal factors, a lot of data for each of our for our methodology, and then give a ranking. And in this case, this year we did an A, B, C, D, and F, and we rank them numerically as well, so that parents have a way to really compare their schools to other schools. You know, we tend in America and here in Texas to think that the schools in our community are the best, and this is sort of an apples to apples way to compare. Similar demographics, you know, how do we compare? And on the same ranking scale, how do we compare with other schools? And this is what we're doing all across the state of Texas. We've released the Houston, Dallas, Austin, and now the San Antonio rankings.
So you gave some schools rankings, and in Bexar County, there were only four schools that managed to get that ACE marking there.
Yeah, that's right. It was one of the things, the interesting things that we found about San Antonio is that eight campuses, those campuses receiving a letter A, and in San Antonio, Health Careers High School was number one, which is up in Northside ISD, and they were indeed number six in the state. And then three others, International School of America from Northeast ISD, and then the School of Science and Technology, which is a charter school, ranked number three, 60th in the state. And then Reagan High School up in Northeast ISD was the four schools. So those were the four letter A's. Only 3% of the A campuses in the state were located in the San Antonio area. But indeed, the San Antonio area has about 7% of all the campuses in the state. So we basically saw, in terms of those top schools, there's sort of an underrepresentation in San Antonio. And as we looked at the bigger picture in San Antonio, we felt like there's still some improvement that could be made in the San Antonio area as we compare it to some of the other cities here in Texas and similar demographics.
So can you describe what a school has to do? How do you get an A?
Yeah. So if we focus on the high schools for the time being, we looked at 65 high schools in the greater San Antonio area, and we looked at a number of 14 different indicators, everything from how kids were doing on the SAT and the ACT, how many AP classes, advanced placement classes they were taking and testing, how they were doing on the test, how much advanced coursework as recommended by the state of Texas were they taking. We looked at graduation rates, what percentage of kids were starting the freshman year and finishing high school in the next 6 years. And then we also adjusted for those schools that teach high percentages of economically disadvantaged kids. We also looked to see how kids were gaining, you know, in terms of testing 1 year to the other. When schools made great gains, they certainly got credit for that.
So you were looking at real-world benchmarks, not so much looking at standardized testing results?
Right. We tend to minimize, you know, if everyone passes a TAX or a STAR test. In Texas, you know, if you know anything about this system as a researcher, in Texas it's just about where you set the bar, and Texas tends to set the bar a little low, right? So a lot of people are passing, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're really having great success academically. So we'll look at commended levels, which is sort of a higher level, and see the percentage of kids that are scoring at the STAR or previously at the TACS at the commended level, and we'll adjust for that. But we still don't give, we don't give a lot of points to those types of things because we just feel like it's not the best indicator. An SAT test, for example, even though not everyone takes it, is a better indicator because it's done nationally, it's normed differently, and it's not about a state sort of setting the bar. It's a national bar that everyone knows.
Now let's turn our attention to the other side of the spectrum, some schools that got F rankings from your study, and there were three in the area. Can you talk about those?
Yeah, in terms of high schools, there are a couple of high schools, two in San Antonio ISD and one which is a charter. Lanier High School and Sam Houston High School, both high schools that have received some attention in the past, but they sort of fall into this category of these schools that every year seem to not be doing well, and turnaround efforts have just not worked at these types of schools. Now, we've seen in some parts of the state where some of these turnaround efforts that are happening in Dallas and Houston have actually worked, but they don't seem to have worked with Lanier in Houston. And then the Corpus Christi College Prep, which is the charter school that really ranked at the bottom as the worst high school in the San Antonio area, this was a trend that we're seeing. We're finding that there are a number of charter schools at high school, middle school, and a lot at elementary levels that just aren't measuring up and are really providing a disservice for kids. So we're so used to hearing about the great charter schools in the state of Texas, and there are some extraordinary charter schools that are high performing. But I think what people often forget is we have some really bad charter schools as well. And so sometimes parents hear charter school and they think it must be good, but indeed it's sort of a parents beware. You have to know that there's some really bad ones. You know, figure out what are the good ones and don't send your children to those bad charters.
Yeah, that is astonishing because charter schools, they have been developed as a way to be a solution, supposedly, by proponents of charter schools as to schools that are failing, like the ones that you point out here in your study. And here we have, you're saying it's the worst of the worst in our city, and we're not an exception. This is a trend that you're seeing across the state that that some charter schools are bringing up the bottom. And so do they have that to measure up? Are there any, or do they just continue in this fashion, or what happens to them?
Well, we have put a lot of pressure on the state to really close down bad charter schools, and there's a couple of bills that have been at the state legislative level. We're hopeful that they're going to pass and that the governor will sign them as well, which is really allowing us to have charter schools but saying we're going to regulate those schools. If a school is bad, we need to shut it down. And I think we see this trend across the state, and where we really see it, David, is at the elementary level. I mean, there are we hear the good examples of KIPP and Idea Academy and Uplift in Dallas and Yes in Houston as being really great charters, but there are so many really bad ones that are at the elementary level.
Mr. Sanborn, we're going to have more on that. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the San Antonio schools. We want to hear from parents and students. Give us a call, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to the second half, or the second segment of The Source here on KSTX. We're talking about San Antonio schools and how they did on the Children at Risk study. Some did really well. They got A's, and some not so well. They got F's, and some got D's. We want to hear from you and about what you think about your local school and what needs to be done to improve it. Give us a call, 614-8980. I also want you to know that in the second half of the show, we will be talking to reporters from the San Antonio Express News who conducted a seven-month investigation into a sexual assault in the military and what happens to the victims of who point out that they were assaulted and how they're punished again by the system. But right now we are talking to the CEO of the nonprofit Children at Risk, which looked at the schools in Texas, Bob Sanborn. And so, Bob, you were pointing out that the charter schools not doing so well in some instances. There are some standouts, but here the Corpus Christi College Prep High School, which is Por Vida Academy in Bexar County, came in last in your list. And we also had some D's, some of them that we thought would be I'm kind of surprised to see some of the schools that are in this list.
Yeah, I think that's one of the great things about the list, or one of the things that people don't like, is that it really shines a light on those schools that maybe have a better reputation than they should have. But what we hope is that it shines a light on those schools that don't have that great reputation but are getting the job done. And that's what we try to see all across the state. Who are those overperformers? And one of the things that we always look for, David, are schools that maybe especially do a good job with high percentage of economically disadvantaged kids that maybe the research might show we don't expect them to succeed, but indeed because of what's happening in that school, there is success. And we love seeing those outliers, and we're able to find sort of key denominators on those outliers as well in terms of what do we need to do to make sure our schools are successful.
In Texas, there is this continual legislation about funding schools, and some saying that schools who are in so-called property wealthy schools, we can have more access to property taxes versus property poor schools where property taxes are hard to generate. Is there a correlation between schools that tend to do really well in your study and property wealthy schools?
Yeah, I think we've done a lot of research also on budgeting and how Texas budgets for public education. And the fact of the matter is that if you grew up in an affluent neighborhood in America and in Texas, and if you have college-educated parents, you're likely to do better academically. And so we need to fund those schools that are going to be those outliers, those schools that sort of break a cycle of poverty. And no matter where your parents went to college or didn't go to college, or if your parents even finished high school, you're going to be able to have a good education. And I think I think we're going to start seeing a change at the state legislative level in terms of funding equity, but it all comes down to the state legislature is going to fund education if they feel like what's happening within the public education system is worthwhile in terms of funding. And I think it becomes incumbent on us to say these are the things that work in public education, and we want to support those things that are working. We believe a lot more funding needs to go into public education. This is, 58% of our students in the state of Texas are economically disadvantaged. So we're going to need to do different things to turn around bad schools and to make sure that we can keep those good schools.
All right, let's go to the phones now. Candy's been on hold. Candy, welcome to The Source. And you have a question.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I'm a military spouse, and we're active duty Army. We're stationed here at Fort Bliss. And I wanted to bring to your attention, especially when you're affiliated with a nonprofit like this, and this capacity for our military students. I don't know if you're aware of, but El Paso right now is going through, a transitional change within the school districts, within the administration, within the board members. And so I wanted to know, by chance, the awareness being shared here in El Paso, Texas. The population here is much bigger within students, minority students, low-income students. We got Title I schools here. The military component of population of the students are funneled into the LEAs of El Paso districts and other surrounding districts. I'm calling and advocating to bring what you're doing. Hopefully, it can be funneled over here onto the federal installation for our military students and also trickled into our community of El Paso.
All right, Candy, thank you for those comments. And let's turn that over to our guest, Bob Sanborn, CEO of Children at Risk.
Yeah, I think El Paso has had a lot of problems. I mean, they not only did they have a horrible superintendent who had to resign and school board problems, but in terms of budget cuts, they decided to eliminate their pre-K programs, sort of going the opposite way that San Antonio did. We know that to have solid and good public education, you start early, it's your best bang for your buck. San Antonio is doing that with its pre-K program. El Paso went completely the opposite way. And so there's a lot of needs in regards to El Paso. And there is, it gets back to also funding equity. And I think that while there are high percentages of economically disadvantaged kids in El Paso, as well there, as there are in San Antonio, we see pockets across the state of schools that are, you know, 100% Latino or 100% African American and 95% economically disadvantaged. We see schools in those pockets that are still getting A's. So we know that that those things are possible, but it means that we can't do business as usual. We have to try different things, and hopefully we try the things that are working in those types of A schools as well.
Okay, back to the phones. Randy's been on hold. Randy, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to mention, you know, my wife's a teacher, so we discuss this topic fairly often. And one of the things I didn't notice y'all were talking about is, you know, I'm all for funding equity, but what about parental involvement? I mean, throwing money at the problem if the parents aren't involved isn't going to solve a whole lot.
Okay, Randy, thank you for those comments. And so, Dr. Sanborn?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. Randy brings up a good point. I think one of the things that we want to do with these rankings is get parents to become better advocates for their kids so that they can see that if their child is going to an F or a D school or even a C school, at a C school they can say, I need to be involved. I want to help the school become a better school, or a D and F. How do I change my school? But I think the major point that Randy's probably trying to make is that whenever we see parents involved in the life of their children, those children are going to do better academically. Now, one of the things that we see a lot in Texas, though, is that we have a lot of parents that are single parents or parents that are working two or three jobs, and it's very difficult for them to be as involved in the life of children as maybe, you know, Randy and I would like them to be. And so we also have to make sure that what's happening in the schools that children can still be successful in those schools, even if the involvement of the parents is minimal. But yes, it's like icing on the cake if we can get those parents very involved in the education of their children.
The number to call to join our conversation about education and schools in San Antonio is 614-8980, 614-8980. So what I hear you saying is that with some of these school districts, particularly in where there are big pockets of poverty, parents may be working, you know, around pretty hard and long hours, and they don't have a lot of time or, you know, a lot of energy at the end of the day to go and lobby for school or double check to make sure their kids are doing their homework. And so in schools where you maybe or the districts where you know, you have a working dad and a home mom who is, or the other way around, but you have a parent at home who who's able to do those things.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think when we look at some of the schools that are doing very well, and especially those that are doing well with economically disadvantaged kids, we will tend to ask them, you know, how involved are parents? And we even had one school that said, well, it's sort of like a little secret. We ask parents to be involved, but we know they're not going to be very involved. So we have to figure out how to do this. And so it becomes incumbent upon the school to engage the parents sometimes. Sometimes parents don't know how to be engaged. And then we see other schools that without any parent involvement, you know, the kids are still successful. And I want to point out one school in San Antonio that to me is a star in the state of Texas, and that's in San Antonio ISD is the Young Women's Leadership Academy. It ranked as the best middle school in the whole state of Texas, and it's right there in San Antonio. And there's a school where it's all about the culture that's been created in the school. It's about the teachers and the principal and really high expectations. And so they seem to be doing everything right at a school like Young Women's Leadership Academy. And a school like that needs to be a model for what do you do with a population that's highly economically disadvantaged, but here you see it being extremely successful. You know, it's the best middle school in the state, and that's saying a lot for San Antonio.
Well, that's the old Horseman Middle School. It's near Woodlawn Lake, and it's also a high school. Don't they go to a high school level?
Yeah, this year we ranked just their middle school because we don't have enough years of data at the high school. But as a middle school, the 6 through 8, best in the state.
All right, back to the phones real quick. Running short on time. Stephen, you're on The Source. Welcome.
Yes, sir. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I just had a comment and possibly a question. I had attended my son's second grade school at Thousand Oaks recently, and I was just concerned because I've talked to other parents at other schools outside of 1604, basically 1604 and 281 and so forth, and it seems like he doesn't really get any homework at all, and it wasn't being challenged, and apparently it seems like what I found out is that he's got a class that apparently he's kind of, the teacher has to focus more of the resources on the troubled kids or the ones that are going to get left behind, as you would say, in addition to having daily interruptions from some kids that have, and I think there's one or two kids perhaps that have like behavioral issues.
Okay.
But to me, I was like thinking that's very unfair that you have to subject him to that when he can actually excel more than what he is. Because when I was younger, kids like that were put into the special ed classes. I hate to say it, but they were in a group all themselves.
Okay. Well, Stephen, let's get an answer for that. Thank you so much for your question. So, CEO of Children at Risk, Bob Sanborn, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Stephen brings up a very good point. I mean, he's focusing on his child, and that's what we want parents to do, is to question what's happening in the classroom. I would encourage Stephen to go down and say, hey, I really think my son should be getting more homework, and I hear that you're spending a lot of time with other kids. You know, in this case, the squeaky wheel is always going to get the grease, and whenever parents can be involved and sort of be vocal about their concerns, they're going to get attention. But, yeah, we don't want other kids to get all the attention in the classroom. We want it to go to our children, but we need to be, in a sense, selfish about the success of our own children. And that's part of what makes for successful parenting and what makes for successful education is child and parent involved in being demanding about their education.
So we're almost out of time. I want to ask you real quickly about the legislature. It looks like we may get a $4 billion restored to the public education budget in the state. Is that are you encouraged by that?
Yeah, we had a $5.4 billion cut. You know, we did this big research piece on this, on the impact of the cuts, and we found that there's been a significant negative impact on our public education in Texas. A lot of people did not expect any restoration at all. So getting the $4 billion before the court case on education equity gets to the Supreme Court is probably a good sign, David. So we didn't get everything we wanted, but we're going in the right direction. And my guess is the Supreme Court is going to say we need more money.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming on a source today. Children at Risk CEO Bob Sanborn. Later after NPR News, we're going to hear from the San Antonio Express News reporters who conducted a 7-month investigation into sexual assault on the military. This is The Source on KSTX.